This podcast is called Okay Stupid.
Welcome to Okay Stupid, the least horny podcast in Brooklyn.
Horny podcast in Brooklyn, the least horny in Queens. They are so horny, we can't even crack the market.
And forget about Staten Island.
Oh my God.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Hey, is this anything? COVID about it. COVID-19.
I'm not sure, but write it down.
This podcast is brought to you by COVID-19.
This is the first episode since the infamous kind of hookup in the apartment and Caroline vomit in the bathroom night that I've been drinking whiskey while we've been recording.
And oh,
I am already just feeling great. It is my beverage of choice. I love to have it with me. It makes me feel secure in my biggest sense of doubt.
Whiskeys, chicken soup for the soul.
Chicken soup really? For the Caroline soul. Brain, at least. Yeah.
Well, we are so excited for this episode. We've had this in the works for months. One of our dear friends, very loyal listener, even bought a shirt, is going to join us today. Her name is Kelly. Did you want your last name in this?
Kirshner.
And that's what
hey,
you get in.
Everyone, what's in up?
This kind of behind the scenes, off the cuff.
Yeah, you know, you're getting us raw, raw, raw.
Yeah, but Kelly is, well, we want you to introduce yourself, explain
yeah,
your background.
Yeah, we'd love to hear all of your
but
credentials.
This episode sort of came to be out of the idea of helping Harry figure out
what he's into.
What he's into.
Yeah.
That I have outdone myself in being so not horny that I have gotten girls' attention. And that is not the sort of like perennial simp move. It's like I am so barrenly unhorny that
we had to call the experts.
Exactly.
First, I just want to emphasize that I am very much not an expert. I have a master's in clinical social work and a master's in public health, and I'm also unemployed.
Whoa, you sound like a master to me.
I'm sorry.
I said you sound like a master to me.
God, don't do their injustice of making her repeat it.
Brutal.
So sorry, but I actually want to make you more uncomfortable by just saying that this podcast is like amazing and I think a really good example for people of just talking about things openly. And I know there's a lot of people that like maybe we take it for granted that we like to talk about sex and relationships. So I think it's really nice. And it, like, yeah, when I'm listening, I'm like, yes, say it. Because I'm thinking it.
Thank you, yeah. Kelly. Kelly is, for anyone wondering, our connection to the podcast Call Her Daddy. The reason we now respect and actually love the podcast Call Her Daddy.
Kelly's always pushing us to be more accepting, more open, of more rival loving. Podcasts and yeah, all in all more loving.
Yeah, totally.
I do my best. It's a hard time out there. I just want to bond with Harry right now about single. I think it's a whole different animal from being single in other times. And I think the people in relationships are getting deeper into them. And us single people are really getting to know ourselves.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, so I think you're right. And I also think I don't know if you have experienced this, but I have sometimes found like an urge to like go on a date or something for no other reason than I'm like just bored. And it's like, I feel like that's kind of not a good reason, or I guess I kind of sort of think that thought and then I act on it and then I get to this date and I'm like, oh my God, how do I tell her that the only reason I like am here is because I didn't want to, you know, watch another episode of Ozarks or whatever.
I just want listeners to know I'm a nodder. You can't see that. I totally feel you on that. Like, I just miss being in a bar and making eye contact. I would urge you to go on dates with people that you're interested in, and maybe that wouldn't happen.
No, I mean, look, to me, that's not, well, that's, I'm already like.
This is already therapy. But look how nicely she said it.
Right.
With a smile. I hope you can hear it in my voice. I also want to say, just responding to an earlier conversation you all had. This is when I don't know if it's creepy that I listen and remember or not, but you're talking about like sliding into people's DMs. And I think that's an excellent move right now in quarantine. you know, you hit or miss. It's okay if they don't respond or the conversation doesn't go anywhere. Like, who cares? I don't know.
That's so true.
Okay, so that's you've actually set me up to talk about something that I was going to bring up
amazing
before, which is that, and this is sort of, I'm perhaps this is something that people do in therapy, but I'm doing like everything I can to avoid talking about what we're sort of ostensibly here to talk about, but bear with me, which is that this, what do we, and I want to open this up to all the ladies here. I am in a little bit of like an online, the beginnings of an online kind of flirtatious dance, which is a very short dance, which is that this woman followed me on Twitter, and then I followed her, and then I saw her, did a little kind of scope it out, saw her, and I followed her on...
Love the digital flirting.
Right. I followed her on Instagram, not on her Twitter, and then she... followed me back on Instagram, and
so flirty. I love it.
So my question is, it's two parts. One, is that flirty?
Yes.
And then two, yeah. What do I do next?
Follow her on Twitter.
We can go on a scale here. So if you're like not feeling very like bold, you can always respond to an Instagram story. That's what they're there for. People want responses.
So true.
Whoa. And if you're feeling bold, like, you're funny. You can make some joke about like how funny it is that you're like playing digital tag. I don't know.
You message her and be like, so I'm not going to follow you on, why should I follow you on Twitter?
I actually had, oh my God. I had a flirtation with somebody who I knew in person, but I had asked, we had been talking over Facebook Messenger and I asked for his number and instead he responded via like Twitter DM. And then I responded via Instagram DM.
And
then
funny.
He Venmo'd me a dollar with like a payment.
Oh, or that's
with, like,
really
a,
flirty.
And we kept going. And then we did like Spotify had DMs back at, then. So we did that. And so we used like, and you guys are kind of, you know, approaching that of like right. using many platforms. So if you could find her on one more platform, maybe it would be a funny thing to message her on a third.
You
third
should
party.
Email her.
Just like her Venmo payments for groceries.
Yeah, go
whatever.
Back into 2011 and like all of her Venmo payments.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, is she funny? Because this could be creepy.
Yeah, so true, so true.
Well, so it's funny that you say that because I do think there is a line. I mean, how much... It's almost like a subsect of humor of just like flaming dudes for trying to get into people's DMs,
right.
you know, and sort of failing. And so I have always been like, that's always loomed very heavy of like, yeah, I'm really not trying to get put on blast for like failing to like slide into some.
You don't want to be on She Rates Dogs.
Dude, I do not want to be on
She Rates. What is She Rates Dogs?
It's not what you think it is.
I'm sensing that.
It's not pictures of puppies 1 to 10. it's just screenshots of like guys doing fucked up things on the internet, pretty much.
God, it's hard being a man these days.
Wait, but that wouldn't be fucked up to like I don't know, like a payment or is that actually no, don't go into Venmo.
It's like NuvaRing.
Find her TikTok.
Nice.
Her Venmo and her doctor, Modern Health Insurance. Thanks for the NuvaRing. Yeah, anyway, I agree. I think that the responding to a story is a genius idea. I think that's like a great idea by Kelly.
My hope is
pop them in the background and comment on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, what here?
Story.
Well, I this is. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm hoping somehow she listens to this. That would be.
Yeah, she leaves a rating and with her number. That would be very cool. If I were her, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's exciting, though.
I also want to just disclaim that we are three women telling Harry advice about things. So there's stuff that we cannot offer you and there's stuff that we can. I just want to say that like male-to-male conversations are so important and
right.
you know,
you
so
can
true.
Get a lot out of it. But I know that you already do that based on past episodes.
Kelly, I will say right now, you can reference anything that you've heard in a past episode. It's not weird and we love it. Mm-hmm. And It's just like an inside joke.
Amazing that everyone else can hear also. Okay, so let's see. One thing that women can offer you, well, what I'm going to offer you right now, is that no matter what kind of relationship you have with someone, whether it be like very sexual or not, friendship, whatever, there's always room for respect and being gentle. So while in a minute we might talk about more kinkier stuff or more taboo topics,
my kink is like, gentle. Never hurt me.
So I just want to like leave that for listeners, like you can always be gentle and like nice.
And it's very easy to be nice. It's actually probably easier to be nice than it is to actively be rude or hurtful.
So true.
That, well, I mean, it's nicer to say you're not interested than to ghost someone, but that's like a whole other podcast.
That's goddamn. Right. And we'll have you back on for that. Yeah.
And then I also, because sorry, we're just going to get into like topics that for some people are taboo. I also just need to disclaim that sex can be really intimate for people and tied to a lot of things that maybe are a little bit more traumatic. So like when I'm exploring my sexuality with another person, I just like to be cognizant that there is another person there and it's not just my journey.
Totally.
A totally. Fucking man.
Love that.
Absolutely.
Great disclaimer.
And there's like a responsibility and like all that aspect. Okay. Are you ready for funner stuff?
Yeah.
Can I start by asking, and this I think will maybe set the scene, is like what inspired this? Because and also like what I guess well I'll say for our listeners is you have expressed from my kind of what I have said on the podcast, my sort of perhaps sex my sex negative my Puritan ideology, no just kidding, my
sexlessness,
yeah, my but no, but my like confusion that I've talked about around sex and intimacy or whatever, that led you to want to reach out. And I'm curious, like, what prompted that? What was the thought process around that?
Yeah, thanks. You should know. So basically, I'm always, like, texting Emily and Caroline when I'm listening, like, what my thoughts are. And when certain episodes came up where you were talking about specifically the Field app and being really interested in how people just knew what they want and, like, how can I know what I want? Because it seems like there's a leap there. And it kind of feels like there's two separate communities of maybe, quote, like traditional, which is really just like kind of hetero vanilla sex versus anything else, be it non-monogamy or kink, BDSM. And there are answers. And I heard you struggling. And I just like was talking to these two about it. I'm like, why don't we just like talk all together? And I think so your true. Questions are very relevant to basically everyone. And I think it's important for cis hetero men to like listen to other guys' journeys. Mm.
Yeah. So you're welcome, Brooklyn.
Right, I totally agree with that. Harry, you've already gotten so many like responses to your
my prostate
exploration. Yeah. With guys being like, oh yeah, like, you know, sharing their own experiences with it. So I think it is very, all of that rings true.
Listen, I think we can all agree that it is really important to have a cis white guy's perspective.
Well, yeah, it hasn't ever been voiced, heard, accepted.
You know what? Maybe this is just my healing of being like this is how you figure it out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, Kelly, I am so excited to see what happens here tonight.
So I have been, this is also just a topic I think a lot about, both kind of in a clinical sense and with my friends. I talk a lot about sex and relationships. So I thought of three topics we could go into and see where Harry's at, where you all are at, and kind of just explore it. So Harry mentioned in previous episodes, he doesn't really know where to begin with these explorations. So something that comes up a lot for the answer is porn. There are a lot of mixed opinions on using this to explore your sexuality. For me, doesn't really work because there's such crazy things online that like, it makes me sad. Like, is this real? I don't know. But for some people, it takes you down a road that you maybe otherwise wouldn't have seen, and that is cool.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's good to get a lay of the porn landscape, no matter what your sexuality is. My repressed little self didn't even look at like lesbian porn until like 2019.
That's which last
is,
year.
Which is actually 8 months ago. 10. So yeah, I'm pro sampling porn.
Yeah, just to see it is really interesting just to learn like kind of what the base categories are.
Yeah, like the fact that I didn't even know that men could come from prostate stimulation until last fucking week because of a Quora article. There's a lot to learn.
I learned a lot from that episode.
Well, I remember, I don't know, Kelly, if you've had this experience, but like my introduction almost to like embracing porn was like freshman and sophomore year of high school. And maybe I had friends who were like, watching porn is the way to learn how to like be good at sex and to be good at giving head and to like learn the skills of like a sexually competent, like cis straight woman of like, you know, you want to learn. And it's the same thing. I actually just rewatched Euphoria. It's the same thing in Euphoria where Alexa Demi is like, you know, watches porn so that she knows how to like arch her back in like the sexiest way. So right. I think, you know, to explore your own sexuality is an interesting thing. You know, watching.
So watching porn, but with caveats, because obviously you don't want to learn everything you know about sex.
So true.
Something anyway. That I have explored that's helpful in that sense is they have more audio-based porn where somebody might, yeah, obviously ASMR, I know you guys talk about that, but where somebody is maybe dirty talking or explaining what they would do to you. So in that way, you can maybe close your eyes or see if that's something you can visualize yourself doing as opposed to watching someone else do it.
That's really interesting. So
have y'all tried that?
Where have you found that?
I've done that.
Porn website. Okay, let's hear about it, Harry. How'd it go?
Yeah.
I think maybe this is a larger conversation, but there is a I almost like don't even know how to begin to enter with that question. The short answer is like, I mean, it wasn't for me really. Like, it wasn't sort of sufficiently stimulating, I guess I would say. Is I was kind of like, you know, I can and do masturbate without porn, but it does end up being like a way more kind of like active and kind of energy expending process than I would prefer. Like there's an appeal of porn, which is an appeal of all kinds of numbing agents, right? Which is just to like kind of shut your brain off and like whack off and forget where you were for 15 minutes, right? It's like there's value in that. That's one of the ways people get addicted to it, or, you know, all kinds of numbing thing. I mean, I guess this is a theory I'm positing, is like the one of the reasons porn can be addicting is it provides that kind of like numbing thing. So there is a tension with like, yeah, with like audio porn or kind of like lower levels of stimulation that I'm kind of like, yo, this is not hitting. Like, this is not hitting like the Vigies.
You are absolutely right. And this is not for everyone, but I'm just going to counter that by saying, I'm sorry, this is going to sound harsh. If you're serious about a sexual journey and really figuring out what you're into, it's going to take some work.
Right. No.
Now, here's a question. Could you whack off to like silent film porn?
Get myself
Vigi, no,
yeah, just Vigi, maybe with some dialogue cards in between images.
Okay, well, it's not for everyone, and I like what Harry said about like some people actually don't masturbate without porn, so I think it's important to mix it up. I like what you're doing, Harry.
Yeah, masturbate without porn is, yeah, it's a good practice. It's meditative. And it takes me so long to even find a video that is suitable or acceptable to my...
Yeah, I've talked to people who are like, the whole thing... Well, anyway, the audio thing is really interesting. And I think that Cop and I should add that to our list for our upcoming masturbation episode.
It's have a challenge. Theory women...
Harry, you left me on the edge of my seat last episode.
Well, I wanted to wait for when we were all doing it. And I'll say what I masturbated to was like erotic writing.
Oh, and that I love. I love narrative.
Do you want to just tell the story?
Yeah, I mean, I Googled like, oh man. yes.
Sexy stories to tell in the dark.
Damn. Okay, we're gonna like, let me just edit out me mustering the courage to say all this. So something that I find to be erotic is, or like, especially when masturbating, is oral sex. It's like something that really turns me on. And so I googled.
Wait, can I ask a question? Which direction?
Receiving.
Okay, cool. For sure. I assumed, but I just wanted to double check.
I mean, I do like, I really think I especially like giving oral sex because I especially like receiving it.
Well, I masturbate to the thought of me giving a blowjob also.
Wait.
I was joking.
Okay. I was like, wait, what?
Right.
I would do that. I like it. Anyway, go ahead.
But I do. I mean, I think I wouldn't say I find like giving oral sex to be kind of like arousing in like, you know, I couldn't like get off to giving oral sex,
right. Disagree.
But because respect, you know, but I think because I sort of especially appreciate, like, am really especially turned on by receiving it. Mm-hmm. That's in my mind when I am giving it,
right.
Because I'm like, this is so good for me. I would love to give this to my partner,
right,
or whatever.
Okay, you know? For sure.
It's easier for me to imagine somebody enjoying getting head than imagine getting fucked.
Yeah,
essentially what I'm.
Okay, cool.
And that's like, so when they're enjoying it, it's like, that's a that's a beautiful thing. But so anyway,
I totally enjoy receiving it.
What?
It's cool to just enjoy receiving it too.
Right. And with all of that being said, I was talking about receiving it. I googled like erotic blowjob story, and it was first thing that came up.
Good.
Was some random, like, you know, there's erotic forums or whatever. And the first one I read really hit it out of the park. Like, I got the job done. Yeah, I got the job done. Basically I kind of treated it like porn. It was the most I'd read in a long time. It's like,
was it in any kind of special circumstance, or is just like a narrative description of like somebody giving head?
You know what? That's actually a really good question. Perhaps reveals something about me. Hopefully something, nice or endearing, but it's this story, the woman like really enjoyed it. Like, she was like sexually aroused. It was like a lot of it was like her kind of the machinations of like her kink in relation to this like nerdy guy that she like picked up off the street or whatever.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of like unassuming, you know, which is like, you know, it's kind of aware that I'm like in certain ways falling right into like a stereotype or whatever, which sort of makes me feel weird. But
but she's driving it and that she's like,
yeah. And
is it from her perspective?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Mm. And so you know, she was just, that was basically it. Like, she was driving, she was very aroused by the whole thing. And you know, I think that's when I think about it, like, that is what was erotic to me, was like that it was like the idea. Because it was easy for me to imagine it feeling good to get a blowjob, right?
Yeah.
It's like we could all sort of imagine. You know, yeah. Probably feels good. But to have the other layer of like, and on top of that, like, they're kind of having their own kind of internal mind-blowing sexual experience that you just need to like post up for and enjoy.
Yeah.
That was.
I think this is sort of the appeal of more kinky behaviors, is that In these non-traditional situations, there's usually like so much consent and so much like, do you like this? What are you not into beforehand? And I think, Harry, your desire to explore your sexuality, I think you're gonna like what you find, because the more you learn about what you like, like, you just know the other person likes it too, because we can be clearer. And like, I also want to say, in these journeys, yeah, you have to, you know, you don't know until you try with someone else, but it's actually really important to do self-education before trying like these more out there kinky stuff, which is good because we're in quarantine. You got lots of time.
Well, so I want to say, I want to talk about porn for a second, because I've had a, I know I'm ISOing here, but I'll briefly say, like, I've had a complicated relationship with porn for a couple of reasons. One, it's, I mean, I think a lot of people maybe do, in terms of like shame and I mean, like, I don't think I didn't have the, like, necessarily the shame of like, all porn is bad. If you like masturbate, that's fucked up. Like, that wasn't sort of at least explicitly kind of, a part of my upbringing. But there definitely was, you know, this understanding that porn is kind of like, in without moderation, can like really warp and like fuck up your understanding of intimacy and sex. And that's like really scary. And I feel like at various points, like, I did kind of feel like it was kind of like moving into my, like, infringing on my ability to like be intimate with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny, 'cause it's like, by the numbers, I've never like masturbated some insane amount, but by kind of by my like,
A kid I knew in high school masturbated 35 times in one day.
Shut no the fuck way up.
Rubbed himself to completion
every time.
That's a superpower.
That, I mean, this was like insane puberty, but that is insane. Anyway, so beat that.
I beat off 3 times in a day, and I felt like I was like dying. but my point is, what's like, I have this weird relationship with porn where I always feel like, if I use it too much, I'm like hijacking my ability to like, because like to enjoy another person, because it's like, there's a real safety in self-pleasure, right? Like, there's not another person involved. There's no kind of like any neuroses you have about your interaction with the other person. It's kind of evaporated. And in the same way that there's all kinds of behaviors people do to like quell that voice in their head around, like, you know, insecurity or whatever, around their relationship to other people, alcohol, drugs, whatever. So like, that has always weighed heavily on me. Like, I can't remember the last time I've masturbated without thinking about the like potential implications of porn addiction or like love addiction or sex addiction.
Right,
or
for sure.
That sounds stressful as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
I think it's really, really common though, especially for, I was going to say men. I don't want to be binary, but I think there's something about masculinity that when we're younger, like, porn's okay to more of an extent. And it just kind of reinforces, kind of going back to why it's important to talk for men to talk to other men about these things. Because all we're going to do is be like, yeah, I hear you. That's that sucks.
Right.
And I feel that too sometimes as a woman. I think there's a lot of shame just wrapped up in sexuality as a whole, and porn is like an easy objective thing to pin that on.
Yeah,
totally. And there are, you know, there's certain avenues for porn that probably are worse for your psyche and your intimacy. And then there's also some that like call themselves ethical, and like, I don't know, I haven't done enough research into it to determine if that's true, but
usually if you pay for it, it's better than if you don't.
Really?
Right.
But also, Harry, you sound like you're gonna be okay, because you said that you enjoyed hearing that a woman liked it, so like, you're already you know, you're doing good.
That already separates you from a lot of cisgendered heterosexual men.
If you happen to be the woman from before, maybe who followed me on,
listen up,
maybe just
Harry,
like,
cares about your pleasure too.
31 45, you know, timestamp.
I also want to maybe suggest something that sounds a little out there, but maybe could fuse this technological and real life sex situation.
VR. Where,
I'm sorry, what? VR? Yes. So fun. I don't think we're there yet.
Okay.
But sexting. I don't know if there's anyone you have a relationship with that can do that, but I have found a lot of exploration through kind of shared narratives with a sexting partner, where I don't have to actually try it because it's remote, but maybe they are describing something and I'll feel in my body like, ooh, is that something I would want them to do or no? And
oh,
I
that's would interesting. That's like a low stakes thing. Way to test things out.
Yeah. So you, because somebody else is like coming up with the ideas, like, is that what makes you more able to try it on for size?
Yeah, sure. Like I, with this person, I would maybe come up with a framework. Like this is the general framework I want to work with, like, or this is the position I want to start in. You take the reins, and then this person will describe back to me what they think would happen next.
Wait, can you backtrack and like give full, so like you describe,
a real
like,
example.
Yeah, I would love to just know like the whole process, because I've never been super comfortable with like sexting, and I would love to hear like what you set up and what you like, what frameworks you create and stuff like that.
Totally. So in quarantine, I live alone. I have gotten a lot of joy out of taking photos of myself just to remind me that I exist.
Totally. Yeah.
Some otherwise, of these how would you photos know? Might be more risque than others. And maybe I'll either send this photo to someone and be like, it would be so hot if you took this, or like if we did a photo shoot, or like, how do you want me to, you know, something like this, or, then you kind of get a flavor of what type of story they're going to go for. And then, cause in this situation with this person, he would not give me a full story, but let me reply in the middle with photos or narrative. And then that way we can create something together.
And this is someone who is, it's not like a long-term partner. It's not in a relationship. It's just like it's a sexting buddy. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is so cool. So this is somebody you know only in the context of the internet?
Cool. Yeah, I've met them in real life, of course.
Okay.
I'm cool. Not.
You're not a catfish.
That's super interesting. Okay, wait. And so then you create a framework in which to explore before you...
Like sort of like a role play situation almost? Or
yeah, and this is a similar framework to... I keep talking about like the BDSM community, and I feel like that's a stigmatized name, but it's basically just, you know, not traditional sex. But basically, even if you're the submissive, you actually have more power than the dom, the dominant, because... If the submissive is like, I don't want to be choked, that scares me, the dom is not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in this situation as well, I don't know. I'm just like, I want to be handled. Like, are you down tonight? You know?
Cool. Okay. This is really interesting.
You're blowing a lot of minds.
Yeah. I don't know like- how this is going to work with like, you are in a relationship. So like these are different, I think, dynamics with, people in relationships and single people. Like you for have sure. to trust someone first to get there, or you know, like what's going through your head, Harry? Gotta bring you in.
I think you actually hit it right at the end, which is this idea that of trust that I think is like, that's when I kind of like try to piece all of this together in my head. The idea of like exploring sexuality within the confines of a relationship, or like, you know, I have only experienced like kind of a monogamous hetero relationship for the most part. And like that, you know, within the context of that, I can imagine the kind of like framework or the path to exploring sexuality. I'm certainly like completely out of my depths when it comes to setting something like that up in anything that's not that. And maybe, I guess, as I'm kind of analyzing myself here, it's like, that would require a tremendous amount of trust for me. And that's something I think maybe because, and I mean, I guess I can only experience, I can only speak from my experience as a man, but like that there's like a real, a cost to like sexual embarrassment as a man. Right. And so if you, so I certainly that weighs on me, like this idea that like any kind of thing that I might be interested in, if it were to be perceived as sort of embarrassing or weird or whatever, you know, like that could be a, that would be a real, you know, fucking primordial blow.
Okay, so I have an idea then. In order to make these kind of sex and like intricacies of sex less personal, some like another just overarching suggestion I have in terms of exploring sexuality is just to like be in spaces or have conversations that surround this without making it personal. For example, going to the Museum of Sex, you don't have to take a date there. I mean, you could, that'd be like cool, but you could be like, hey, I went there the other day, here are some things I really was interested in, like, what do you think about this, you know?
Whoa, that's really interesting. I love to go that. With a sexual partner and to be able to like point out every exhibit and like give a take on it. That or is so interesting.
You just go with your hand.
Hand down the pants
and just sit on walk it through. Sit on it for a couple hours on the subway.
Wait, yeah, I forget that is an actual museum and not just a punchline.
Dude, I went with someone I thought was really cute, and
that's okay. That's you slide into her DMs, you say let's go to the Museum of Sex.
Yeah, well, that's a really cool idea. Like, already you've blown my mind just by offering the idea of like imagining something just from a text and then deciding whether I'm into it, and by like, which is such a medium for exploration that doesn't involve the act itself, you know, like you just get to create it for yourself, but also somebody else is providing it rather than looking at like a list. So I think that's super cool. And the Museum of Sex, where it's like a location, is also super cool. So already you're blowing my mind, but let's continue.
Well, I have a question for the ladies. What is the setting in which you have had kind of the one of the more kind of honest and open conversations about sex, either with a partner or with a stranger? Like, can you remember a specific setting, like a Museum of Sex or like a, you know, I can think of, you know, I guess I'm curious, is it during sex? Is it after sex? Like in a kind of like right afterwards? Was it maybe before you were guys going to have planned sex? Like, I guess I'm curious how conversations around sex interact with kind of then the, you know, testing it out or whatever.
Totally.
Well, I have sort of a recent example, and there was so much shame wrapped up in this for me personally, and the only context in which I've ever felt like I could explore it is in a committed relationship where, like, I don't know, they've heard me fart, like there's nothing that could turn them off at this point. But it was, I really wanted to try using a strap-on, and I felt like it was weird and like dysmorphic and too gay. I don't know. And then I tried to overcome that shame and just talk to my other lesbian friends about it. And they were all like, oh my God, yeah, we've all been using this. Like, what the fuck? Like, you're like, the more you open up to people, the more you realize you're not alone and nothing that you feel is really that weird or deviant, especially if you're queer. Like, everything, people have done everything. People have done every type of sex on their own body and on other people's bodies. And like, you're actually egotistical to think that you're alone. But yeah, that was something that was really hard to overcome. I broached it in a maybe like a sexy conversation, but we weren't having sex. And then my partner was able to reassure me, and we were able to introduce it at my pace. But it's fucking hard and scary.
Yeah.
And to even say it on a podcast is even scarier.
Well, queen, you killed. And
well, thank you. And to all the little lesbians out there, go buy your strap, baby.
And here's something else that I would say about that is that, like, no matter what you're talking about, I feel like when you are being emotionally vulnerable about something, there's always somebody you know who's going to be the most open to it. And it's so okay to pick and choose who you open up to about things. Like, I have certain friends who are extremely, like, sex positive and love talking about sex. And, like, that would be the person I would go to want to talk about like a sexual vulnerability, like to be able to be like,
yeah,
I know this person has used a strap on. I know that like they're the first person who would like I'd want to talk to, even if we're not that close, because I know they're going to encourage me about it. And like to go to people with
even before you go to a partner, you can, there's other avenues that can reassure you.
Right. Maybe. Like
I also think that
I even Googled once, is it normal for lesbians to use strap-ons?
And look, and Google, you can open them yes. to
Is it normal to for straight guys to like blowjobs? is that weird of me?
Is it okay to like getting hit?
So that like we're so young, you guys, like we're gonna fumble and be embarrassed, and like this is just the time to do that, and it sucks, but we're gonna get over it.
Totally.
And also go ahead.
I was just gonna say, you're not supposed to reach your sexual prime until you're what, in your 30s, so there's certainly no rush. Yeah. Yeah, dude, ditto.
And then also, just to answer your question, Harry, I don't know if you're asking more about with the partner in question, like how to open those conversations. I always think it's important to talk about things you're vulnerable about sexually, not in the bedroom, because you're going to be so, everything's so like heightened, and whether that means you just do something kind of expected and quote vanilla the first time, and then after, this is something I like, after you comment, like, I really liked when you did this, or what did you like most, or whatever, and kind of use that as an avenue. Low stakes, hopefully everyone's finished, or you know, it's not like there's pressure to do it again and like do these acts.
Right,
it's not like a pre-conversation, it's a post-conversation. That's super interesting.
Yeah,
or even in, I mean, for example, I heard somebody say about choking, they're like, what are you supposed to do, just choke someone? Like, that's so extra. They were saying that the way, this was a straight man, and he was like, I usually just put my hand near their collarbone and see how they react, or like bite their lip, like, or spank them a little and just see how they react, because you can usually tell with their body language if they're into it. But if you don't do anything crazy, consent first.
I actually read a really interesting, and Kelly, I really want to let you take the agenda, but I also want to just quickly give this interesting fact that I learned in As We Know, Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski.
Love that.
Emily Nagoski Hive.
Yeah, truly obsessed with her. But the most recent chapter that I read was about a concept called non-concordance, which is like the difference between being turned on in your head and like, you know, feeling fully turned on, like, you know, as a person, versus your genitals being turned on, and that they've done studies on it actually, and that for men, like being hard and being turned on, there's about a 50% overlap, where like on either end you're either like, you know, like in the bedroom ready to have sex but not able to get hard, versus like hard and you're at the dentist or something, you know. Right. And that there's like actually a 50% overlap for men, and that for women, which is statistically significant and like actually, you know, important, in that like generally men have some overlap, not 100%.
So in layman's terms, half the time a man has a boner and he doesn't even want a bone.
Yeah. Damn. And vice versa. Well, what? I don't know actually if the numbers
that's so confusing.
But same for women, in that like but in fact for women the overlap is 10%, where you are aroused
physically
only 10% of the time they are actually wet. And so like you can be, I don't know like what the numbers are on either side of the overlap, but like a lot of the time you're turned on and you're not wet, and a lot of the time you're wet and not turned on, and like basically there's no statistically significant overlap between the two. And that your body,
body.
Yeah, your body gets wet when it expects sex. So like if you watch, you know, like two baboons having sex, you're like, oh, that's sex, you know. Or if you like, or
see
if
the
you
word sex in a book,
see the yeah, exactly. Get it's wet. Like, it's like the metaphor she used was walking by a restaurant and having your tummy grumble, even if the food looks disgusting. Where you're like, you know, I could be hungry, but I don't see a restaurant, so I'm not, you know, tummy grumbling. Or I see a restaurant and it looks gross, so I'm not. But anyway, the concept of non-concordance, and like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey goes over how like, what's her name?
A seminal text doesn't, for exactly. sex education everywhere.
Look, exactly.
50 Shades of Grey by Emily Nagoski.
Yeah, literally opposite. Like he's like, I know you better because you're wet when I whip you. And she's like, but I actually, it hurts and I don't like it. And it's like, you know, being wet isn't the secret to knowing when someone is turned on. Anyway, it's an interesting thing that we can get into in another episode, but I think it's totally relevant here.
Totally. Lube is a gal's best friend.
Yep. Totally.
In fact,
water-based.
Every lesbian's bedroom I've ever been in, they've had a bottle of Sliquid on their
Sliquid.
And it's called Sliquid. On their counter.
I'm looking into it.
Don't use that. Whatever I use.
yeah. That's Rosh Lube. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Kelly. I will give you the reins because even though you're not the expert, you are the master.
Master of the house.
I also want to suggest a test. I sent this to you two before. I have taken it myself, thought it was interesting. It's at BDSMtest.org. You answer a few questions and they tell you kind of what your style might be. And of course, this is fluid over time. So like just for now, this is what you are. And for me, it helped solidify like, okay, I'm into being tied up, but I'm not into like mommy daddy role play. You know, like you can kind of differentiate different things you're into.
Totally. I have taken this test. I love it. I am 96% vanilla, and then there's a little mommy daddy in there. So
little mommy daddy.
Yeah, a little bit. I can't totally remember. I'd have to look at the screenshot, but
I feel like I had totally a high percentage of mommy daddy stuff too, and it was not something that I did, was not something I expected, not something that I knew or had done. But
yeah, it's I love the test.
To where we started, which is there's a lot of shit wrapped up in sex.
Yeah.
Sometimes the kinkier stuff is just replaying in a safe way some stuff you're dealing with, which is why you got to be responsible with the person you're with and can't like expect them to heal your wounds.
Right. Totally. Harry, have you taken the BDSM test?
I got one question. And then I was like, this is too much. was more of a time and place situation.
Totally. You were rushing out the door. You were rushing out the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to make a train and it just didn't.
The train's going to be an 8 minutes, it's a 7 minute walk. I'll answer one question.
Exactly.
I'm also wondering, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, what the fuck was I going to say about BDSM? I don't remember. You know.
Oh, I was just wondering about the barista.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the barista?
You had a barista. Did anything happen there?
Oh, no. Well, the only thing that happened is I went back a couple times.
I walk by every day.
Yeah, right when it opened, right when it closed.
I sat outside of the window.
Just kidding.
Well, Matt, might I suggest following her on Instagram?
Yeah, following her.
Seemed to have opened a door.
No. You know what's funny, though, I make a lot of jokes and sort of like do a kind of rigmarole around kind of the beginning stages of a courtship or whatever, like, you know, seeing a girl at a coffee shop or, you know, some person on Twitter or whatever, or you know, even with the dating apps, like, you know, matching with somebody, chatting with somebody, whatever. But I have been like more and more, I think, hesitant to like take any kind of next step. In a lot of ways, because I've just had a lot of like bad experiences with like, and not, you know, not bad in some necessarily like fucked up or, you know, like Hollywood bad.
Everyone's at their worst right now in quarantine.
Right.
It's so not true. A good scene.
Dude. Yeah.
Well, okay, so I have a question. What do you think about, you know, people go through troughs in life and people go through peaks and valleys in life. When I am kind of in a peak or in a more of a plane, I find it somewhat easy to, you know, engage in sex. I don't mean just physiologically. I just mean like have kind of like reasonable, normal sexual encounters where we both walk away feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
When I am in a trough, I feel like it's much harder. And I suspect that has to be somewhat universal. But the thing is, it's like, I mean, you know, some people get less horny when they're depressed or whatever. But like, that's not, you know, people still when they don't have a job or, you know, I've had a bad day or, you know, whatever sort of myriad of things, like people still want to have sex. People still get horny. Mm. I think my question is, how do you navigate? I mean, I wouldn't expect you to kind of rattle off an answer, but something I ask myself a lot is how do you navigate that when you know you're bringing yourself to the equation in somewhat of a trough, you know, and you still may have sexual needs or wants or desires or whatever. How do you kind of navigate that? Because it's tricky waters, right? You don't want to bring, you don't want to like lie to somebody about how good you're feeling or whatever. And you also don't want to be like, yo, I'm having a hell of a bad year, but I'm down, down to fuck. You know, like that,
For the listeners, I am nodding super hard.
So I don't know. I don't have a specific question, but what do you think about all that?
I think this is definitely something a lot of people want to know or asking around my friends. Like, everyone's going through the same thing. I guess I always just say, like, be honest. Like, if you don't have time for someone, I was seeing someone recently who at the beginning was like, I'm studying for the bar. I can only hang once a week tops, just so you know. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not going to expect anything else. And I don't think it means anything about the time we do spend together. So I think if you're like in a space where you can disclaim where you are, I would do so. And if you're not, maybe don't be out there dating, because like, it sucks to just as me who's been ghosted a lot, and I know everyone's been ghosted, but just from my experience, like, it sucks and feels really disrespectful when I know that that person knows they're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I know you're better than this, so why are you like giving me the runaround? So I think it just makes everyone feel better, even the ghoster, if we're just kind of more honest about what we want. Like, why don't you just kind of, if you feel like you want this, like, want a woman but like you kind of don't, just like first masturbate and then afterwards see if you still want that.
right.
I love that idea. How do you recommend, like, navigating having a conversation like that? Like, I know that we've talked about before, like, you know, at the beginning of going on a first date with someone, like, it's kind of awkward to bring up something like that, but also it's weird to bring it up, like, in a, you know, in a chat, but it's also, like, not appropriate to bring it up, like, right after you have sex. Like, when do you suggest, you know, bringing up this honest point about where you are in your life?
I feel like an easy way to slip it in would be like when you're scheduling the next date, if you do want to schedule the next date, to say, like, let's say you hang out on a Friday. If you want to hang out like Sunday, cool, do it. You don't need a disclaimer. But if, like, you could say, let's do next weekend. I don't think I can hang during the week. Like, it's a busy time or something. Like, I just think anything's better than a slow ghost, honestly, because we're all adults and we all know what's happening, and people respect you so much more for saying something.
And it's so not hard to just send one fucking text being like, not feeling it, wish you the best.
Right.
In fact, I've come around on people who are like, I'm not looking for anything serious. I'm like, cool. And then I'll circle back like a couple months later when I don't want anything serious. Yeah,
totally.
And then they do, because that's the circle of life, baby. I don't know. I think I went to the bathroom, so maybe I missed something important. But I also think there's something to be said about, if you know you're in a place where you cannot give or receive love or even something casual, don't put yourself in situations where you could hurt people. Like, even if you're horny, like, jack off until you're happy. Like, having sex with a stranger isn't going to make you feel better. In fact, it'll probably compound the issue.
The biggest problem is people actually don't know that they're not in a place to do that. So it kind of feels reckless. But, you know, just catch it when you see it.
Yeah.
Do your best.
Well, so I think that's a really... I think that runs into a... a way that the kind of the zeitgeist sort of discusses casual sex, which is this idea that, like, yeah, we're in New York, we're having casual sex, like, it's everybody's, you know, just looking to get their rocks off, like, you know, there's this idea. I almost think that we've, in a lot of ways, like, the pendulum has swung all the way over to, like, sex can be meaningless, you know, or whatever. And so, you know, I personally, at times, probably even now, have felt like I probably shouldn't be having sex with people. Like, I don't think I'm like in a spot right now where I should be like doing that in a way where I could, you know, either one or both of me and my partner would end up kind of not feeling so great, right? And so, I kind of think about that, mull that around in my brain, but then you sort of think about the larger zeitgeist and the way people talk about casual sex, and it's like, well, everybody's into it casually, and it's more of like an activity set more than anything else.
I don't know if anyone's actually into it. I think it's survival.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that. What do you mean by survival?
Like, I feel like, for me, I don't know if this is a gendered thing, but like, if people think that you want to like date them seriously, it's like not cool. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe they end it before it kind of starts because, I don't know, they're scared or they're not ready, as you said. Like, it could be out of a good thing, but for me, as I said, maybe I'll circle back a few weeks later to someone, like, maybe I just want to get it in, and, like, I know that they're an option. Is that so bad? I don't know.
Well, if somebody has, I think, laid out the groundwork that they're, like, I'm not looking for anything, I just want to, like, be a hookup, and or I just want to be someone you sext, or I just want to be, like, you know, someone who you get a drink with.
Like, especially if you feel like you can disconnect yourself emotionally from wanting anything more.
Either a strong, confident woman move, or like, why is that girl going back to this person who already rejected them? I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle.
Well, to move back to you, do you think that when you text people like that, you have like some kind of secret hope that things will move beyond? Because no.
No, because what I learned from my therapist is you have to be unattached to outcome. So if you're going to like put out these things, I'm going to say like, are you interested in this tonight? And like nothing further. That I always add that, so we're both on the same page.
Yeah.
And it's also self-protection.
Totally. So you're like, and by the way, I don't give a shit about you.
Wait, so you're hitting somebody with the, are you interested in nothing further?
Like,
I think that's awesome. Yeah. I wish more cis-hetero men would do that.
Yeah.
Well, instead of lull you into a first date, and not even like I'm dating men, but like lull you into a first date, feign interest to bang you and then drop you, like be upfront. Maybe
do you think that it would be as well received, or I don't know, differently received generally, if you were giving that message as a like cis straight man?
I think it's all about approach. Like, I'm not gonna be like, I just want to bang. I would say, even if I was a woman with that voice, I would say I would say something like, I really like hanging out with you. I think like we get along really well sexually, and like I love spending time with you, but I just don't feel like a romantic spark here. Mm-hmm. So like I would be interested in continuing to hang out, knowing that, you know what I mean? Totally. Like, are you interested? Yeah. This is what I'm feeling. What are you feeling? And like really laying it out. I'm not saying I do that all the time. It's just an option.
Well, and so here's my question. In your kind of, I'm flipping it a little bit, right? Therapist here. In your heart of hearts, when you say something like that to somebody, does that ring true? Like, you really are, because I guess I'm projecting for a moment, in that, you know, I've said something like that, but perhaps maybe closer to the actual God's honest truth is like, hey, like, I kind of am interested somewhat in the kind of flirtatious, superficial dynamic we're in, but I actually don't really like, wouldn't want to hang out a number of times, but I kind of am, I think the dynamic we have is perhaps interesting on a surface level, so long as it doesn't go any farther, and I don't, you know, like that, and that just becomes like a way more kind of, that gets to a point where if that feels true to me, I will not say that to somebody, and I will not try to pursue that, because I'm like, if I can't say that to them, then I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna lie to somebody. So
I just understood the slow ghost, where people try and like you're gonna like kind of push the boundaries. I'm not gonna respond for a few days or whatever, or say no to a hang, so that this person knows what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. Maybe you can push that for a week and then have a conversation. Like, I don't know. I think these are really difficult questions, and for me, I feel lucky most of the time. I can tell very early in a relationship if there's something long-term for me. But I know that that's really rare. And obviously I get confused as well as things go on, but maybe I just have a hard defense mechanism where I'm like, bye, you know?
Well, what do you, like, have you received texts or like boundary setting texts specifically, I guess, from guys that have particularly been impressive or like, you know, rung true with you?
Impressive. I got one once.
Impressive.
Oh. That have been oppressive, sexist, made you feel horrible.
Yeah, have you gotten any kind of like shitty? Have you ever had a bad experience with a guy? I guess.
Are men obviously even capable of being shitty?
So one that I really respected was I actually did get ghosted only for a week. So it's not really a ghost, I wouldn't say just yet.
That's and a spook. After the week, just a small spook.
He comes back around and says, hey, sorry that I kind of was MIA for a bit, but I've been seeing someone that I like and I want to see where it goes. You know, have a nice life, but nicer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think for me, anything that just acknowledges like, hey, I know you're a human.
yeah.
You know?
Totally.
The one time I've sent, I feel like I'm just always like, got back with my ex. Sorry, you're great. Yeah. Whether that's it's true or not.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a breakup text that, or I gave a breakup text that was like, I'm still not over my ex and I don't think I'm ready to explore a new dynamic. And that was successful because it was true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's interesting.
That is interesting. And I'm thinking too about what you said, because like sometimes you want different things and maybe you don't even know what you want at the interaction, be it sex, be it a fun, short-lived flirtation, be it a lasting relationship. And maybe it's just about determining which of those things you want ahead of time and communicating that clearly with as much kindness as you can possibly muster to the mm-hmm. other person. Oh, because it's hard to be vulnerable.
I thought that, but then it changes with each new person you meet. Like, that's it's just true. So hard. We're all doing our best. As I said, we're so young.
Well,
we're
gonna some of us are doing better than others. But, but yeah, that's true. It's always good to assume good intent and give people the benefit of the doubt, probably.
Yeah, especially during quarantine.
Unprecedented times, as they say.
I like to call it a global pandemic.
Well, I would love to just plug a couple things, actually.
For sure.
Oh yeah, I guess we've kind of come up on an hour, but I could talk to you forever.
Yeah.
I could too.
We might have to do a part two.
Wanted to give the people more resources. A book I'm reading right now is called The Ethical Slut.
Yeah.
It's by this is Janet
like Hardy. Intro to non-monogamy, kind of, right?
Yeah, and I think anyone has something to learn from it. It just talks about jealousy and like respectful relationships and friendships even. So you can find a free PDF online, but I do support like paying for people who do good work.
Yeah, I have a meaning to. I borrowed that book and then only read a chapter of it. So I'm going to actually purchase it as we end this.
Not on Amazon, I hope.
No, on something else.
On borders.com.
Yet to be determined. Yeah.
The other thing I just want to plug is Vote. And if you want to donate, go to votesaveamerica.org/donate. And they like kind of do good bang for your buck in terms of if you don't have a lot to donate. So
totally. I love that.
Yeah, cool. Early voting, I think, is beginning any second now. In
October 24th in New York.
In New York?
Yeah.
I actually got the post office texted me that they received my ballot, which
yeah, California is doing wonders.
High tech as shit.
Yeah. I'm hoping to be a poll worker this year. We'll see if I get an assignment. Kind of just TikToking, waiting on that. But yes, I couldn't agree more. Vote, vote, vote.
Yeah, well, it's like a liberal's bumper sticker. Give a shit. Will ya?
Totally.
Well, that's kind of all. I mean, you can follow my art Instagram.
Yeah.
It's at kelker.art, where I draw naked ladies. So to kind of to tie things in. Also a great conversation starter for me if I'm trying to like talk about sex.
And also, totally. At one point, you were selling stickers of the.
I am selling
body.
Stickers.
They're amazing. Yeah. You
I've
should get yourself
so many
a sheet.
Compliments. Mine are on my water bottle. People love them, Kelly. So thank you for those. Yeah, yeah, couldn't support more. Couldn't plug more.
Do we feel like we got anywhere today? Is this
Carrie, that's a question for you?
Well,
I think.
I think so. I mean, what do you think? I certainly got into two Bonneville seltzers.
I think trying audio is really interesting, and trying like sexting and stuff like that. Like the idea of a theoretical exploration in place of like a logistical exploration, I think is a really interesting idea.
Especially as we approach the second wave.
Yeah, totally.
I also think, you know, to what you were saying about the importance of you know, men talking to men and men talking to, I just think it is, it can sometimes, at least for my own life, feel very easy to talk about sex with somebody that you feel has a very different experience with sex than you. Like, it's very removed, you know, like, you know, either because of gender or because of age or because of, you know, whatever it is. And I wonder, you know, I'm feeling like maybe in my own life, one of the like pushes for kind of vulnerability that I may need is to like have some of these conversations with people that actually are like, are very similar to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, are like my the close boys. Male friends. Right. Yeah. Or like, you know, we share some other kind of similarity, be it a different, not, you know, not necessarily a gender or sexuality or whatever, but like, you know, those kinds of conversations, which I, you know, I think are harder to have. Yeah. At least I'm feeling it myself, like thinking about it right now. It's more probably vulnerable. Harder to have.
Yeah. Take your friends to the sex museum.
Right, right. Yeah. Forget
yeah,
this.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, I
think it's always hard to open up to people, especially friends where maybe that's not the norm in your relationship. But it's, in my experience, always, always, always gratifying and always makes you feel less alone.
Totally. Cobb and I would have never talked about sex without the podcast.
That's true. And now look at us. Goddamn.
Look
armchair
at us.
Experts featuring Dax Shepard.
Yeah. And what's Kristen Bell is the wife, right?
Yeah. I'm Dax. You're Kristen.
Okay. Deal.
I'm sorry. Monica Padman is the co-host on the podcast. I just have to.
Oh, totally. Totally. And Harry's Monica.
And Harry's Monica.
He's the chair.
Frank's the armchair expert.
I didn't even know he had a co-host, so that's my homework for this week.
I did. Not to brag. Okay, cool. Well,
awesome. Thank you.
I think we really got somewhere. Yeah, thanks
Kelly,
everyone
this
for
was
listening.
So helpful and revelatory, and always just good to kind of spark these sorts of discourses with your friends and
totally
across gender lines. I feel like is helpful too, because we get a little glimpse of the other's perspective if that's who you're dating, and if not, you just learn more about your friends.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot more to this conversation, so I am going to encourage right now a part two, and I really appreciate your coming on the podcast as always. You know,
you've really got a
sexual
future
feedback.
in this social work thing.
Yeah,
kid.
Yeah.
people you get them.
You've got a good brain and we appreciate it.
Yeah, so easy to talk to you, so lovely to have you on.
Yeah. I'm so honored.
And
poon in next week.
Poon in next week.